Partitioned Retrospective by Deadline of Pi, read by the author. In 2015, the observers invaded and civilization fell. But what happened before and what happened after? That's what this story will tell. At the end of last season, Walter was in his lab, a sandwich his only desire. Suddenly, his friend September appeared, bringing with him news that was dire. "They are coming," he said in a monotone voice, and Walter's heart beat faster. Although the message itself was three simple words, its meaning foreshadowed disaster. Is it Martians or Russians, unusual rodents? Some villain we long thought was dead? But September denied all of those far-fetched notions, delivering exposition instead. "They come from the future, 2609, the year they laid Earth to waste. With the world 92% toxic, they needed a plan, and with haste. That's where I came in. I was part of a team, observing events in the past. But I've been betrayed, and humanity will fall unless we both act fast." "Slow down, slow down. You're making no sense. You're speaking in riddles and such. All of the things that you say can't be true, for the paradoxes would be too much." And then Dr. Bishop went off on a tangent, a story that can't be beat, about the time he and Belly decided that bacon should have a minimum length of 5 feet. September gave Walter a rather blank look, tilting his head to the side. And after a rather brief pause, he continued, with more information to provide. "Originally, we had to observe your past, providing unbiased reports. But little did I know that my supervisors were exploiting me and my cohorts. They studied our notes while making their own, finding what they sought. They examined human weakness so that they could stop the war before it is fought." Walter understood now, and with his sandwich still in hand, he took a small bite now and then, as he and September planned. And now our story skips ahead 9 months, after Olivia has given birth. Peter's just discovered that disagreeing is more trouble than it's worth. "You need to relax, take some time off. It's called maternity leave." But Olivia would hear none of those words. As to her beliefs, she did cleave. "But I can't relax, Peter. You know that too well. The world isn't going to behave. With fringe events happening all over the place, we have humanity to save." Peter knew that the cause was lost, for her will was just too strong. But thankfully, he had a backup plan, if he could convince others to play along. So Peter went to Broyles at his office the next day. Broyles pointed to a chair. "Let me hear what you have to say." "The time has come to talk," Peter said, "to talk of many things, of fringe events and consequence of interdimensional swings, and why Walter just bought a yacht, and why porky men grow wings. Even though we have a child, Olivia won't take time off, but I have a rather unique plan, although I think you might scoff." And so it came to pass that from Boston up to Duluth, Peter and the team did their best to hide the truth. "So, what's going on?" Olivia asked, as she walked into the lab. "Oh, nothing," replied Astrid, quickly hiding a mutant crab. They hid events the best they could, but Olivia knew. For fringe events have massive scope, and concealing was hard to do. This continued for several weeks, through a manner of strange notions, until Olivia could no longer handle simply going through the motions. She was heading straight for Peter, her mood full of prosecution. But Walter pulled her briefly aside, presenting an alternate solution. "You know, if returning to the field is your utmost desire, I could volunteer my services as a babysitter for hire." "Walter," Olivia asked, "are you exactly qualified?" "Oh, of course not. But there's this new mixture of Brown Betty that I haven't tried." It was at this point, though faced with doubt, that Olivia could see that taking time off from work was better than LSD. And throughout all of this, Walter continued to plan, working with September at night. But his actions did not go unnoticed, and Astrid wondered if he was all right. "Peter, with regards to Walter, does he seem stranger to you? Just last month, he bought a yacht, and he just left for Peru." As Peter looked at Astrid, his confidence did not falter. "I wouldn't worry too much. This is Walter being Walter." So Walter went on random trips, being careful not to be caught. September covered all their tracks, partitioning his every thought. As months went on, they toiled away, making plans no one had seen, until finally their time was up. It was the year 2015. In his lab, Walter sat impatiently, tapping both his feet. He had an important experiment, making bratwurst to eat. But one ingredient wasn't there, something with which to embellish. "Asimov, could you run to the store? It seems we are out of relish." Astrid rolled her eyes. He had butchered her name once more. "Sure, Walter, I'll be right back." And she headed out the door. As soon as Astrid left the room, September did appear. With no hint of emotion, he said, "They are coming here. You must listen carefully, and then you must escape. No matter what will happen next, you must finish that tape." And just as he finished, December appeared, much to Walter's surprise. Others would be coming soon, heralding humanity's demise. "But how could you have found us out? September's been blocking you." Silence then filled Walter's lab, except for a single solitary moo. Realization dawned then, and Walter realized exactly how. He turned to face December. "You heathen, you bugged my cow." December gave a wicked smile, which made Walter uneasy. "Indeed, Dr. Bishop, and it was actually quite easy. While you may treat your animals as meat factories or slaves, we realized her true importance and secretly read her brainwaves." Walter clenched his fists up tight, his eyes filling with rage. But the observer ignored the old man for now. His colleague he did engage. "You've betrayed us, September. You've lost your way. Something I must resent. But I haven't told number 19, so there is still time for you to repent." September stood his ground that day. His mood was disaffected. "We don't belong here in the past. Humanity must be protected." What happened next is hard to describe. You really had to be there. But I will try my best to recap an event that is extremely rare. The tension in the room increased, and Walter took a step back. But September was prepared and awaited December's attack. Observer combat, too fast for the eyes. It looks like just a blur. The two men from the future moved around the room, producing quite a stir. Although intense, it went by quick. In seconds, it was done. Objects were strewn about the lab, and December had won. He stood over his fallen comrade, and with a look that was unkind, he stared intently at September, and he started to wipe his mind. September had to act quickly, for December posed quite a threat. In order to save himself and Walter, things had to be reset. Observers, centuries later, would look back and declare without doubt that even though it was his destiny, September had taken the coward's way out. Suddenly, there was a flash of light, a crack of deafening noise. And once the dust had settled, there remained two small, bald boys. They promptly disappeared, but not before one of them smiled. Walter knew where he had seen him before. September was the inner child. With the observers gone, Walter wanted to relax. But there was something more important, the final Betamax. 20 minutes later, Astrid returned from the store. Shouting when she saw the mess, she dropped the relish on the floor. "The lab has been ambered. Walter, what happened here?" Walter grabbed a small suitcase. "We need to disappear. The observers are the enemy, as they've been the whole time. But September and I have devised a plan, and for that we need a mime." "Oh, not a mime. What am I saying? That makes no sense. But there is a man we need to find to strengthen our defense. We used to be at war with them, and they were quite adverse. But in order to save all mankind, we need to reach the Redverse." "But Walter," Astrid said, "we shut off the machine. You and I both know such tech is few and far between." "There's still one man," Walter replied, lacking all elation. "I've done research and finally know his exact location." Astrid realized the truth. Oh, this just can't end well. "Indeed, Asma," Walter sneered. "Let's track down William Bell." And so our heroes did depart, leaving Jean behind. The road was looking rough ahead, with despair for all mankind. The team would be reunited, but Peter was a wreck. Olivia would go on her own way, searching for some tech. Ambered 3 days later, with a problem still to fix, we wait to see how things will end in 2036.